What's up, y'all? Welcome to Perfectly Poured. I'm Brittany, your host, and of course, this is a space where we get real about life, faith, and everything in between. Whether you're pushing through the tough stuff, chasing your dreams, or just trying to keep your cup full, I'm here with some honest talk and good vibes to help you along the way. So let's pour into the journey together, one step at a time. Hey everybody, welcome back to Perfectly Poured. I'm your host, Brittany, and today we have a super special guest that's near and dear to my heart, my brother, Herbie Mack, and we are going to cover all sorts of different beautiful things today, and of course, give my brother his flowers, because he is in the field of suicide prevention and mental health advocating, like I am. So let's get into it. Herbie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thanks for having me. And for those who don't know, I'm Herbie Mack. I am a suicide prevention specialist. I teach those about the signs of suicidal ideations, and I help those who have suicide attempt and life after a suicide attempt. I think it's vital for that.
Yeah, which I think is very good to have. And Herbie also talks to all sorts of people, educating them on signs and how to prevent, of course. And can you just walk me through, like, what led you to this field and this realm?
Yeah, so it was about like what, nine, almost 10 years now. I attempted suicide 3 nights in a row, and now, then she was my ex-girlfriend, now she's my wife, Saida. She had, I don't know why, but she knocked on my door and she realized that there was something wrong with me. And she'd been knowing me since high school, and I was just off. And once I was off, she created a safe space, and I told her, like, hey, I attempted suicide 3 nights in a row, and it would have been a fourth if you didn't come knocking. And her reaction, I didn't know how she was going to react, to be honest. Like, I pretty much didn't care, but it was actually genuine. It was non-judgmental. And she was like, hey, I found out about the suicide prevention lifeline number. We can call it together if you're cool with that, because even though we're not together, like, I still care. I still care about you as a person. And from there, Baker acted myself. I was supposed to have been there for like 72 hours. And the guy there was, I'm going to keep this PG. The guy there was a jerk, to say the least. Because I didn't want to take any prescription or anything like that, he held me longer for about 5 days. And I was like, hey, dude, I don't want to take any prescriptions. I've learned how to, being there, I learned how to be an advocate for myself and speaking up and realizing like the importance of your voice. And I got treated like a number, right? It was just one moment where he was just looking at my file and he was just like, hey, I know you're from the Bronx. People from the Bronx don't really talk or have a high IQ, whatnot, and really can't read or write. Mm. And it was just something like the street smart to me was like, oh, he's just trying to like rile you up, get a reaction. Yeah. Because there's cameras all over his office, so if I go and start attacking this dude, then it's going to prove that what he told me, which I didn't believe, that was bipolar one. And I was just like, nah, man, I'm just not with it. And being an advocate, I didn't take any prescriptions, but I found another psychiatrist that was there, and she gave me the proper test, and she was like, no, you don't have any bipolar, you're just depressed, kid. You know, just go seek therapy. And sis, you already know, therapy can be expensive. So during that time, after she released me, did what anybody would do, go to good old Google and just typed in like how to get over, you know, this mental health episode, or not even, yeah, this episode that I was having. And it was just like, hey, positive affirmations, walking, and, you know, not only doing that, but changing your diet and your scenery. And I was like, all right, cool, I'm gonna try it out. As I was trying it out, I kept calling the suicide prevention lifeline number, right? Not because I was in crisis, but they had resources, right? Hey, you should try this, you should try that. And it was beneficial for me. And then there, after years of owning my story, owning my healing, and owning my journey and whatnot, I decided to help those and share my stories to show that you're not alone.
I love that. And now look, you're changing lives. You said something, well, a few things that kind of like brought like a light bulb. I wonder how many people who have or struggling with depression go seek help or, you know, go to a hospital to get help have been misdiagnosed. And I'm sure that there's like a lot of people that might have been misdiagnosed. So having a secondary opinion, not saying that everybody's doing it, but like having a second opinion can really turn things around to lead you where you need to go. And then of course, like changing your environment. Like you changed your diet, which I'm super proud. Like my brother is amazing. Okay, all right. So this man like is going on how many years sober now?
No, seven years. 7 years, yeah.
7 years sober. Changed his complete diet. So does not eat meat. You don't eat dairy. Well, you eat some dairy, but you don't eat meat. You're pescatarian, right? Yeah. So it changed his whole entire life. So this way he can achieve mental strength and stability and turn his life around. And he is a wonderful husband and a wonderful father too. So like, I gotta give you your flowers.
Thank you.
Because I just had filmed a little tidbit before we hopped on about people who struggle to keep like, or people who struggle from changing their lives around for the better. Sometimes I feel like people get stagnant or they're afraid of change. And I've committed myself to full sobriety because I don't like how it made me feel. And I also noticed that it was adding more onto depression and anxiety and changing my eating habits too. So it's important that we mention these things in order to attain life that you want that's going to be a lot better. There are some necessary steps that you're going to have to take, which is changing your environment and adding some healthier ones to them. So I appreciate you putting that in there because most people don't know that.
Yeah, it was one of the, like, for myself, I realized when I was drinking, right, I was nicknamed like, well, my slogan was like anything possible. Obviously, it was just like Hennessy and everything. And that was like, and it was fun. Like, you know, you hanging out with my friends and doing all that, like clubbing and, you know, drinking Hennessy was like, oh, cool. Until I got home. And then when I got home, those inner demons was coming out. And that's the thing that people don't see, right? The things that you're battling internally that you may not want to say out loud, but unfortunately, you know, drunk minds tell sober thoughts. And with that, it's just like one of the things that I was like, hold on, this alcohol is not just making me feel good. It's bringing out a side of me that I'm angry about, my past, my trauma, things that I'm not comfortable owning yet, or I'm still not healing yet from. So it's just like, I'm punching walls, right? I'm throwing things out of rage, out of anger from things that I can't change as a child or as a young adult. But when I'm sober, I can understand them now, right? I can comprehend of, man, why am I putting so much pressure on a kid, right? Like, what 7-year-old is going to talk back to their parents and be like, I wish you would, right? You know, like, your mom, your dad is just going to, like, push you, like, get out of here. So it's just stuff like that, just understanding, like, me as an adult putting that pressure on any kid is wrong. So why would I do that to myself? Yeah. I can't change that past, but I can change the outcome of my future just by acknowledging it and understanding, like, dude, it happened. I'm sorry nobody was there for you, but I'm here for you now. And along this journey, what can we do to make a better life for us?
Right. I think that's beautiful. It's healing the inner child so you can continue to walk a good life. I think that's beautiful. Well, that's awesome. So do you have any like highlight moments out of your career thus far? Or would you consider it even like a career?
Yeah, this is a career. I think one of the biggest moments I had, I did a keynote for NAMI speaking. And they did it for NAMI Florida. Event happened where it's like supposed to be some other speakers. Whatever happened, they didn't show up. A couple of people got word that like, hey, Herbie's here. He's a speaker. The topic was supposed to be Black men and mental health. They was like, hey, would you be willing to do it? And I'm like, I have no choice, right? Like, I'm here. I'm a Black man. Not only I want to educate those about like mental health and what it looked like from a Black perspective, but there's someone in the audience that might be going through something now that can resonate with what I'm saying. Needless to say, I probably had 30 minutes to go on. But if you stay ready, you know that I have to get ready. And I did my speech. And afterwards, like, it was me and a counselor. We was both, you know, she showed a document. I shared my story and we did like an interview type of thing. And I couldn't, like, we had 45 minutes and the host was like, no, keep going. Keep going. We end up going over 25 minutes because our room was the biggest room for the event. Like, we had the most people. People kept talking about it. But after I was done, it went from like nobody really like talking to me in this conference to everybody starting to talk to me. And I'd never forget this guy. He had to be at least like 62 years old. And he just looked at me and he had tears in his eyes and he just gave me a hug. And he said, where was you 30 years ago? I could have really used this advice. And he's like, I don't know if anybody ever told you this, but you're changing lives. And he was like, I wish I was brave as you and strong as you to share this story, and be vulnerable with people like this. And he's like, you're doing it, man. He was like, you know, he just said he was like 60 something. He didn't want to tell me like his true age, but he just started crying. And he was just like, man, like, I needed to hear this. But he's like, no, my son, who's probably near your age, he needs to hear this too. Thank you for it. And it was just like one of those like heartwarming moments of like, I'm walking to my purpose and I am changing lives.
You are, especially in this day and age that we live in. I feel like we have a lot of information that is at our fingertips, but also like we have the downside of having a device in society and culture these days, which is social media. The need to fit in, or the need to, or, you know, feeling inadequate, or whatever the case may be, or whoever's background story is. The fact that you are doing what you're doing, you're doing speaking gigs, you're going out and touching people and, you know, hearts and letting them know about how to prevent it and signs and how to seek help, and you're giving resources too. I think that is incredible, especially for our younger generation. And even older ones too, like that gentleman that came to hug you, like that plants a seed. So the fact that you're out here gardening, I think that's beautiful.
I love it. I love it.
That's beautiful. Do you want to share like some tips for our listeners, especially for those who might be going through it, and for those who have family members or friends or know somebody that might be going through it?
Tips as far as what?
Prevention.
Yeah. So my whole thing is like, I don't want anyone to have suicide as an option, because no one should die by suicide. And right. So things that I do, or tips that I recommend, is just the basics, right? And that is just going outside, getting about 15 minutes of just fresh air, walking around. And for me, I realize that's so crucial. It slows the world down. Right? You're not on your phone. You're not being distracted by TikTok or anything. But just getting outside and just getting familiar just with you and your thoughts. And then journaling, right? I can't stress journaling. And I want to put this out there because people think journaling is just sitting down, getting a pen, and just writing in the journal. There's multiple ways that you can journal. There's two that I do a lot. There's obviously the old school way is writing in the journal. Yeah. One is the voice note on my phone. That I use. Mm-hmm. I use that, and I find that one more beneficial, to be honest, just due to the fact of I can actually hear the pain, the joy, the excitement, the man, why did I say that? Like, I can, it sounds different when you hear it, right? When I read it and I go back to it, you know, if I wrote something 3 months ago, I may have some sort of confusion. And was I angry at that time? Was I happy? Mm-hmm. But when I hear it, I can tell, like, my voice cracked. That's pain, right? That's resentment. Mm-hmm. That's anger. I can hear it. And then also another one with your phone that I do occasionally is take pictures, right? When you take pictures, pictures tell a story. So there might be moments I have pictures, and I still have the picture of when we went to the, when you was down there, when we went to the beach, right? And that's a moment that I go to every now and then, right? Like, man, I need a moment with my family. I can't physically be there with you, right? But right. Having a moment of seeing like you, your husband, your daughter, you know, our kids just like being there and being able to play at the beach, that's something that I can always reflect to. So those are ways that I've used for journaling. So I just want to put it out there. You don't necessarily, if you're someone that you know, most of us, we talk more than we write.
Yeah.
Voice. Using a voice note can be beneficial for you, right? And then you can listen to it and, you know, digest it how you want to and break it down the way that you need to. That's another thing that I recommend in exercising, right? And I don't mean exercising as far as like, hey, dude, sign up for a Peloton class. Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It can be as simple exercising as just like, hey, nobody's home. I'm going to do a couple push-ups, jumping jacks. You don't necessarily have to go to LA Fitness, or you don't have to go to the Planet Fitness or whatever, anything like that. You can actually just do the basics at home, because everyone, depending on your situation, whether it's the funds or your family dynamics, if you don't have a moment to go to the gym, doesn't mean that you can't exercise. And exercising can also still be taking a lap around the block. So stuff like that. Another one that I enjoy, and you may laugh and I don't care, is coloring, right? Coloring is something that I realized was beneficial to me. I don't do it as often as I would like, but coloring slows the world down. And I love coloring because there's no rules to it. So if you want to color Superman green, purple, pink, and orange, you can do that. If you want to color the sky black with gray clouds or green clouds or whatever, you can do that. There's no rules, and you get the freedom to express yourself how you feel that moment. And I think that could be beneficial to anyone, is just really being able to slow the world down and just not think, because sometimes we tend to overthink, overanalyze, and we don't need to. And last but not least, it's just reading a book or listening to a podcast like this that can help you empower yourself, right? It's so beneficial to that, right? You want to grow. As you mentioned earlier, you want to get out of that comfort zone, because if you're still in that comfort zone, there's no growth. So, and with that, you want to learn something. And I'm not saying like, oh, as soon as you learn a book, you're going to like right away, it's going to be a quick change. It's just adding that to
absolutely. Those are some really good tips. Thank you for sharing those. Especially because right now we're entering a sad seasonal depression.
Yeah. Winter blues.
Yep. Winter blues. So I did do some research a few years ago about things to also help. So like you were saying, going outside, disconnecting from your device and being present is a really huge thing. You know, meditating, for me, the Bible, also connecting with other peers and stuff. If I feel a way, I'll call my brother if I need help or something. Seeking a good peer to talk if you feel like you have a lot of overload going on. And if you don't have that, seeking other good resources like therapy. There also are some cost-effective therapy options. Some are free depending on what type of insurance people might have, but also like local churches or wherever people want to go to, that they might have some things like that that are free counseling for people. So another big thing is vitamin D is so important for the mental health, but vitamin D doesn't work without magnesium, so you need to make sure you have both, because it's for nerve support. So that also helps with depression and alleviating stress. And I've been doing this for about maybe 6-7 years now with both of those things. So I can say that it does help and it does work.
Yeah, I think you know, I wanted to add to the knowledge that she was just talking about as far as like therapy. You know, depending on your situation, if you can ask your jobs, because I know some jobs may offer seeking therapy. Hey, we have 3 sessions that you can go to. So you just ask your employer and just like, hey, do you guys offer any free therapy sessions? If not, do you know any? There's one that I always talk about that I feel like they should be a sponsor for this. is Open Path Collective. And for them, it is affordable therapy. You may have to be on a waiting list, but it can be affordable, from prices from somewhere between $30 to $60 or even $90, somewhere between that range, which can still be beneficial for those. But as you mentioned, having a support system, some sort of support group that you can go to. NAMI, depending on where you live, like I know NAMI Florida, I'm pretty sure NAMI Charlotte, they have local support groups that you can attend. And the best part about these support groups are they are hosted by people who have lived experience. So it's not just someone coming from a clinical perspective, someone that's coming from a lived experience perspective that can get to whatever trauma that you're facing or battling, that they can guide you. And I think that could be beneficial to anyone.
Absolutely. Because you don't have to battle mental health alone. You don't have to battle it alone. You don't also need to depend on substances either to suppress what you are feeling. It's always the best way to get through it is to face what you're going through head on, or just be present with yourself. So can you also give us some tips on how to prevent suicide? Like, if we notice that somebody is isolating, like, what are some signs that we need to watch out for?
Yeah, one of the biggest signs is starting to see them, as you mentioned, isolating, right? If you notice that, hey, you know, John is always around, always going out, always checking in with us, I haven't heard from him in a while, you might want to check in to see if they're going through that. That's one of the signs of giving away prized possessions. John has a PS5 and all of a sudden he just gave it away for free, or if he had a dog or something, just like, hey, you can have it. That's one of the signs of like, hey, are you okay? Also, seeing if they had a life event, right? They had a life event that was, they lost their job, a major breakup, someone passing in the family. That can be something that can trigger them to having suicidal ideation, right? It could be a massive breakup. It could be them losing their job, giving away prized possessions. And also, you starting to see the mood change, right? If they're starting to drink more, if you're like, hey, it's 8 o'clock and you already smell like cognac, is everything okay? Right? Mm-hmm. That is a major sign. And that's something that you can, I can't stress, like, when you check in on people, try not to judge them. Because that pressure of like judging them, it's like, man, you don't know what I'm going through. You're not creating that safe space for them to actually tell you the truth. And I get it. Not everybody's equipped to handle that, but it's okay if you're not. Just sit there and just say, hey, I can't relate to what you're going through, but I care about you. Here are some numbers that I've learned about, like 988. Are you okay with me staying here, being on a phone call with you and walking you through that? That is something that can help them. I'm not alone. I can understand. There's a sign of hope. And that is so crucial when it comes to someone who is struggling mentally, because you don't know what they're going through and you don't know what they're thinking. So you don't want to sit there and just seem like you should be feeling great because you have X, Y, Z. It's like, hey, you're talking down to them, you know? So just really meeting them where they are and helping them get to where they need to go. And that's someone that can help them in crisis.
That's important. I'm so glad you mentioned the non-judgment zone. Like, we don't know what people are going through, which is why we should always strive to be kind to one another and not assume, but to be a listening ear and a loving heart to those, to make this world a happy place and make their world a happy place. So, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me on social media at Herbie Mac. My website, if you want to book me, if you want to learn more about me, is herbiemac.com. And from there, I'm just all over. I release videos. I have a podcast called The Just Believe Show, of which I release weekly. With that, I don't just talk about suicide. I always talk about like mental health and how to, one, add tools to your toolbox so you can be the best version of yourself. As I mentioned, talking to you, suicide is the last thing I want anybody to think about, let alone attempt. So with that, I add so much value into mental health and just understanding like, hey, this is what this is, right? And I'll break down topics from boundaries, which I didn't know what it was until like, I was like, oh, I think I need that. Boundaries. And then the importance of managing your time, right? And understanding that, like, I don't want to sound rude, but not everyone is worth your time. There's no other way I could say
it. It's the truth.
It's, don't want to sound rude, but not everyone's worth your time. Not everyone deserves your time because it's so valuable. Yeah. And just as you are valuable, your mental health is valuable as well.
Absolutely. And there wouldn't be no us without taking care of this. So, well, that's cool. Thank you for sharing that. Also, do you have any big things that we could be on the lookout for?
No, not yet. Not yet. But I will let you know. I will let you know, not yet.
It's in the works, but in the meantime, in between time, we'll definitely make sure that we're following your social media pages and then also signing up for your newsletter, because his newsletter also is very insightful, has some good tips, and keeps you updated. So I highly recommend making sure that y'all check that out. All right, Harvey, so you have been amazing, like always. I thank you for being a guiding light. I think you are the epitome of be the light so people can see the light, because what it does is it shifts the narrative for a healthier lifestyle than what people are used to. So when you have people that you can look up to that are like that, it makes everyone's life a lot better, because like I said earlier, it plants a seed. So I appreciate you being the individual that you are, because it definitely is impacting other people, big or small. It starts somewhere. So thank you for that. And thank you for your time today.
No, thank you. Thank you. Before I go, I just had a question for you.
What's up?
You know, we talk about our mental health and whatnot. What are some of the things that you do to help you be the best version of you?
I remind myself of my purpose. I remind myself, and that the biggest thing is my kids. And my husband, so like looking at that and looking how far I've come. So reflecting gratitude, practicing gratitude every day. So I choose at least one thing to be grateful for the prior day. Every morning when I wake up, reading my devotional helps me to stay grounded and to keep my mind on things above and not below, because we are not everything that we think. You can become what you think if you entertain those thoughts. So don't believe everything you think. Yeah. Getting some exercise and just choosing healthier things. Just choosing to just... You have two different people in this world. You have people who go through things and want to stay in that cycle, and people who go through things and want to get out the cycle. I'm the person that wants to get out of it. So with that being said, I try to treat my temple right and just check in on myself if I don't feel that great. I also see a Christian counselor to help me with accountability. She's my little guide in this world. So that helps out a lot. And those are just some things. And then setting boundaries. Like, you've taught me a lot about the importance of boundaries, because you don't want to become a people pleaser. And I am, I'm trying to find the perfect word, but I can't think of it right now, but I am an ex people pleaser. Okay. And so with that being said, boundaries definitely had to be placed, and saying no and no being a full sentence was a bit tricky at first. But of course, like, I'm still now becoming fluent in setting these boundaries and saying, no, I can't do that. No, that's not for me, because that helps you out, like Herbie said earlier. So those are some things that I do to help keep me up and at 'em.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love the fact that you mentioned the boundaries, because when you set them, you get to see the people reaction. And yeah, if they're like screaming, like, I can't believe you're doing this and this and this, that. And it's like, dang, I should have set that boundary a long time ago. I didn't realize that, like, I got they're that comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? With at a state of just walking over me. You know, or taking advantage of me. So I think that's one of the biggest things about boundaries that I've learned. And it's not just for that person, but it's for you and your sanity and your mental health. So no, I love that you said that. And I love the fact that you realize that having a Christian counselor is something that is vital to you, right? Not only do we have the same views, but we probably speak the same language. And that's so important for anyone, right? Mm-hmm. When you... Like, you know, I'm Marvel, right? I love Marvel. I love The Office. And so, like, there's certain analogies that, like, I can use with you that you get that I mm-hmm. may not be able to use with somebody who doesn't watch Marvel and don't understand, like, why does he keep using the Spider-Man analogy? Like, I don't get it, right? But that helps when you find that person that speak your language. It doesn't necessarily have to be Spanish or French or anything like that. But it's language in, like, certain things, right? Like, man, this dude keeps using, like, a J. Cole bar. Like, I don't understand who is J. Cole? Like, I don't understand what he's talking. But that is so vital in the way of how you express yourself, how you want to be heard, and how you want to be seen. And that helps so much. So thanks for mentioning that.
Absolutely. I do also want to expand more on the speaking the language. finding a counselor, like some people, I think a lot of people are scared of therapy because they're scared of being medicated. There's a difference between a psychologist and a therapist. when you see a therapist, like, they'll prescribe if need be, but if you have a bad experience with one, you can always see another. Like, you're in control of how that looks. So I also want to like highlight that too. Like, you can change providers that speaks your language, so this way you have a better way of healing. Like Kirby just said. So just want to encourage those.
You know, you said that and like all I could think about is it's very similar to if you go to the barber, if you go get your hair done, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're providing a service for you. And when you go see a therapist, it's all about the service that needed to be provided. So if there's a certain way that you like your hair done, your haircut looking a certain style, if they're not doing it, what you do, you go see that the next person that actually does the job that you want, right? Like, right. Hey, I came in, I wanted my hair blonde, not red, right? Like, I came in, I wanted my cornrows this way. I didn't want dreads. Like, you get up and you may get it done, right? Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you need to fix this. And then I'm going to actually find the person for me. So that's what it's all about, is just finding that person that gets you. And then also, like, as I mentioned earlier, be an advocate for yourself. If you feel like, hey, they're trying to prescribe some sort of prescription for me, advocate for yourself, right? But then also, don't just advocate for yourself, because, like, it's not me. Sometimes if you do need that extra support, is what I like to call it, if you are prescribed with a prescription, that's okay. Because there's people that go to the gym, when you bought the bench press and you have that person there spotting you, that's there just for support, just in case things don't go right. So I don't want to just make it seem like I'm just anti, don't take prescriptions. Like, if you need it, it's perfectly fine. Just understand it as a support to help you be the best version of yourself.
Exactly. Because there are various different options that are out there for people, and our brains are all made differently, and that's okay. That's okay. As long as you're healthy, that's all that matters. Well, thank you for that. And to my listeners, if you found this episode super helpful, do me a favor and make sure that you share it with somebody. You never know what it might help sparkle up their day. And also, don't forget to hit like, share, and subscribe to Perfectly Poured so you can get more lovely episodes such as this. And then make sure you're also following Herbie's handles and staying tuned with his podcast too. The Just Believe Show is an amazing show, and it's very, very informative. So thank y'all for tuning in today, and make sure you catch in next week for our next episode so you can keep your cups perfectly poured. Bye.